Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
With the vaccinations, we joined on air by Dr. Israel. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chad, for having me again.
Doctor, so the FDA is only approving Pfizer now, but we understand they had experimental status, so we understand that a lot of testing went into it. But why is it just Pfizer that has the FDA approval? What about the other vaccines?
So I think it's important for us to understand what the difference is between an emergency authorization and an approval. And I think that, you know, without being too caught up by the details of the standards of each one, the concept to help us to understand why it's so safe to use these vaccines is that an emergency authorization will go through when there's a product that needs to be used, and obviously like the time sensitive nature of it will save lives. So it goes to the first stages of testing to make sure that it's not unsafe on a limited sample. And also the most important thing is the amount of time that elapses for that testing. So for example, if you look at a product like, hydroxychloroquine at the beginning of COVID, that was FDA authorization for emergency use, because the thought then, especially in the States, was that hydroxychloroquine would save lives and they didn't want to waste time, you know, jumping through all the hoops. When it was found then that it wasn't efficacious and didn't help at all, the authorization was removed. Now, with the vaccines, as soon as vaccines had passed their phase one and two stages in their development, they had FDA authorization, and that's why we've been able to use all of them. Now that they've gathered enough data on the Pfizer vaccine, which has been widely used in America, and enough time has passed without the incidence of any serious adverse effects or risks, it reaches the stages where, according to their checklist, it can have full approval. And full approval is the same as any other medicine in America that we all know about, like we have in South Africa, approval of medicines that can be used safely.
Now, Doctor, I understand that as a GP, you have an overall understanding, but you may not necessarily be a scientist, but perhaps you can help us understand the difference between the vaccines. Are they all based on the same science, or is Pfizer, J&J, Sputnik completely different types of vaccines that happen to fight the same virus?
Okay, so there's broadly two different types of vaccines. There's mRNA vaccines and vector vaccines. So the mRNA vaccine, and this is a very big it's a good question you ask, because there's a misunderstanding out there that mRNA vaccines will go into your DNA and change your DNA. That is completely incorrect. But the way the technology of an mRNA vaccine works is a messenger RNA is coded for in your cells. So basically what it does is it teaches you put this protein into your cells, into your body, and your cells then code for spike proteins that will protect you against the virus through the mRNA system, but that's not modifying your DNA at all. The other vaccines are adenovirus vaccines, and adenovirus vaccines are, we take adenovirus that is not capable of making you sick, and your body your body makes an immune response that mimics the immune response that it would make if you were infected with COVID-19. And then you make antibodies to it. So the mRNA technology is much newer technology than the adenovirus. And just to put it into like simple terms that people can understand, or relate to, is that the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine are both mRNAs, and all the other vaccines are basically adenovirus. So the bottom line, though, is that both of these technologies work. They both result in a good level of antibodies and spike antibodies that will protect you if you are then infected with COVID. So from the end user perspective, it doesn't really matter which one it is, since they've both been passed from a safety perspective.
Doctor, I must be honest. This is the one part of the show every afternoon when I happen to host it that I look forward to the most, because it means me as a layman gets to speak to somebody such as yourself that can help us make sense of all that's going on around us. I heard that people that had had the J&J shot would most likely be able, if it was permitted by the authorities, to have a booster of the Pfizer shot. So that suggests to me that there isn't that much of a difference. It's all doing the same thing.
Yes, good question. So following on what I just said is that if one looks at the end point, they both result in an immunity that your body has against COVID. So there are, you know, it's probably like ex post facto studies now that have come out where they're looking at mixes of or groups of people who have had Pfizer and say J&J or one of the other adenovirus vaccines. And so far what's been reported is that the response to these mixed batches are very good. They even may be preferable to having one only. And I mean, Prof. Shug or someone like that can tell us more about this, but it's probably because you get more of an immune response if you're using a different pathway towards the end. But the point is that in the groups that have been looked at, there hasn't been any safety concerns raised in the people who have had both shots or each different type of shots. The real big question, which I'm being asked a lot, is do you need to have both shots? So the people who have had J&J, do they need to go and seek out a Pfizer? So far in the Sasonke trial, we showed very good immune response, even with antibody levels, even a long time after getting J&J. But certainly we have seen that people who have had both have certainly had a very good immune response. So it's all about then the ethics about whether you can get more and another shot and not at the expense of anybody else. And but if that was possible, it certainly looks preliminary wise that it would be fine to have a mix of the two.
As I said earlier, I believe I'm blessed to be able to ask these questions and have somebody like you answer them in a manner that's understandable to all of us. Dr. Daniel Israel from Dr. Daniel Israel and Associates at the Bloomberg Medical Center in Burnham. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.